God, I welcome each of you along to this service tonight. We're glad to see you here in the house of God. Could I also say a warm word of welcome to those who are watching online this evening as well. As we said this morning, the services today are to mark the 40th anniversary of the tent mission, which was held on this site before the building of this church building. It was a mission attended by great power and with great blessing, and many souls were gloriously and wondrously converted. And it's good to know that God may change our circumstances, but circumstances can never change our God. And he's still the God of power, and he's still able to send revival. And while we look back and we remember, yet we also look forward, looking to God to come and to open the windows of heaven and to send the showers of blessing once again upon us. Like the hymn writer, we say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So we're going to commence our service this evening by singing that hymn, the hymn number 7, to God be the glory, great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his son. We're keeping our seats while we sing this hymn.
Thank you.
good to be able to look back on our lives and to say great things the Lord has done for us. It's my joy and privilege tonight to welcome along to our service the Reverend and Mrs. Crane. We're glad to have you here. Reverend Crane, of course, is Minister Emeritus of this congregation. He was also the Minister of the congregation during the organizing of the mission 40 years ago. So he was there leading the services. He knew firsthand the blessing of God at that time. So we're glad to have him, and he's going to come and give us a few reflections even of that mission, and then he's also going to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Brother, you're very welcome.
Could I say, first of all, I'm pleased to be here back in this pulpit once again. And I do appreciate the opportunity given to me by Mr. Murray to come and to give some reflections on the mission held 40 years ago. I'm very grateful to your brother for that, and I just want to publicly thank him for giving me this privilege. The mission, as we have already indicated, was 40 years ago. And it was in this very field where now this present building stands. And the field was donated to the church, to the Free Presbyterian denomination, by the Seton sisters. They loved the Free Church. They loved the Lord. They loved the first moderator, Dr. Paisley. And they give not only this site for the church building, but up the road, a few yards, they give the site for the building of the new manse. And all of that generosity was greatly appreciated by the congregation here. And those sisters are now with the Lord, having completed their earthly journey. They have their reward in heaven. However, after several months of prayerful and personal preparation for the mission, coupled with the distribution of some 20,000 invitations and gospel tracts, the old-time campaign got underway on the 7th of June 1981 and continued for 3 weeks until the 28th of June that same year. The evangelist was a youthful, good-looking Dr. William McCrae, sporting a thick shock of jet black hair, and I have this to prove it. Besides being the minister of Muckrafelt, as he was at that time and for many, many years, Mr. McCrae was already known, widely known, as a faithful gospel preacher back in those days, a tireless local politician, and a very highly talented musician and vocalist. And as the people gathered into the tent, the 1,000-seater tent, erected right here, they were impressed by the fact that here was a preacher who knows and experiences what he preaches, and he preached it from the heart. He also sang with rare warmth and feeling, and many derived great spiritual pleasure and enormous profit from his consecrated talent. And we appreciate that, not only back in those days, but in the days since as well. It had long been the sincere prayer of many in this congregation that a blessed outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a mighty move of God in convicting many souls of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment would be the case. God answered the prayers of his people in a wonderful way, and 50 precious souls were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as backsliders restored unto the Lord. The meetings were well attended, with the gospel tent well filled, and on several occasions filled to overflowing with people sitting around the pulpit area and also on bales of hay around the perimeter of the tent. As far as we can recollect, all 50 who professed faith in Christ went on with the Lord. And that was a great blessing and encouragement. I am personally not aware of any who went back into the world. And among those who were saved were 8 couples, 8 husbands and 8 wives. And 7 of those couples joined this church, and the other couple joined the church in Kilkeel. And among the many who were saved during the mission, I will just speak of one example for each week of the mission. There are far too many for me to mention, and I would be taking up more time than would be allowed. So I want to speak of a young woman who later testified that for months she'd been under the great burden of sin, often crying herself to sleep at night. And when someone from the church told her of the campaign, she made her way along to the tent. And that night she was born again, and her burden was under the blood, and the peace that God alone can give flooded that dear woman's soul. Then during the second week of the campaign, a compulsive gambler was saved, and when he witnessed for Christ the next day in his place of work, people couldn't understand what had happened to him. But we know what happened, and God knew, for God had broken the power of cancelled sin in his life and set that dear prisoner free. Then during the final week, another example of the saving power of the blood of Christ was in the fact that a drunkard, a man who'd been an alcoholic, was found sitting trembling under great conviction of sin. And after he was shown the way of salvation as revealed in the Word of God, he got down on his knees and asked God for forgiveness in the only way that he knew how. And he prayed like this: "Lord, you know that I'm a bad sinner. Forgive me and save me from my sin now." He left the meeting that night with the assurance that the Lord had heard his cry and that God had saved him out of all his troubles. Almost every night of the campaign, people were getting saved. Others who were spoken to went home under deep conviction of sin and called upon the Lord and later told us of how they had come to know Christ as well. The campaign reached a memorable climax and was brought to a glorious conclusion with a great service of praise and thanksgiving for what the Lord had done on Monday, the 29th of that month. Over 1,000 people attended that service. They were sitting and standing all over the place. And it was a good evening, for God granted us good weather for the mission. And the sides of the tent were removed so that the people outside could see inside the tent and listen attentively to the message of the gospel. That night, God moved again, and in the days that followed, we heard of precious souls who, as a result of being there, came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We give all the praise and all the glory and all the honor to our blessed Lord for all that he had done during that wonderful time of gospel campaigning. We praise him for all those hearts and homes and lives that were changed by the power of the gospel. We thank God for every soul saved, every backslider restored, and for every saint, child of God, who was thoroughly blessed. The time spent during and even after the campaign was both humbling and exhilarating. We were humbled because the huge crowds and the remarkable response to the preaching of the gospel made it abundantly clear that this was a work of God rather than of man. We were exhilarated because we saw the prayers of so many of God's faithful people being answered night after night. And that was a great thrill and a blessing to us all. We will never forget the degree of unity and cooperation that we saw amongst God's people in the congregation here, which resulted in dozens of people, including men, women, and young people, being involved in the work. And we do thank God that it had an ongoing effect, because not only the people saved during the mission, but it affected families in later times, children coming to know Christ as well, and so it had an ongoing effect. We were impressed by the depth of the support in prayer, and we were truly grateful for the size of the response to what was a remarkable time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. As I look back, and many's a time I have looked back and recalled those blessings, and I can say from my own heart that it was a mini revival here in Lurgan, God visiting his people and God coming in a special way at a special time through the preaching of his precious and holy word. And so with the psalmist, we could say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I just brought this hymn book with me to the pulpit because we had a theme hymn which we often sang during the mission. And it was this: where'er we meet, you always say, what's the news? Pray, what's the order of the day? What's the news? Oh, I have got good news to tell. My Savior hath done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. And daily, as people from the congregation met each other, whether it was at work or up the town or wherever it might have been, they were always talking about the news concerning the mission. And that's what filled their minds and filled their thoughts. And what a time of blessing it was. And truly, God did come down and God did move. And God blessed his word and blessed his servant who ministered that word. And praise God, he blessed this congregation and far beyond. Those ripples of blessing went out far and wide. And so tonight, we are here to give thanks. This has been a day of thanksgiving and reflection and recalling all that God had done at that time. And so we're very, very thankful to be part of it and to be here and to see so many coming to enjoy even what God had done in the past. And what he has done before, he can do again. And God is not limited. And praise God, he can still work in a mighty way. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all the memories that we have of the blessed workings of Thy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel in 1981 here in this field. We thank Thee, our Father, for the preparation that was made, for the dedication of so many people. We thank Thee for the help given, and we thank Thee, O God, that people of all ages were anxious to forward the work of God as best they could. And Lord, we do thank Thee for the anointing of Thy servant, Mr. McRae. Thank Thee, O God, for filling him with Holy Ghost power and using Thy servant as a channel of blessing to many souls and for all who were saved and restored and blessed. Lord, we lift up our Ebenezer to say, and we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And our Father, we thank Thee for so many of those people who went on with the Lord, Lord, who bore a testimony, Lord, who separated from the apostasy, who went outside the camp and lived for Jesus Christ, took a stand unashamedly for the cross of Christ. Oh God, our Father, we do thank Thee as we lift up our hearts tonight for all the Lord has done. Lord, truly, it was remarkable. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. And so, Father, today, as we gather here to give thanks and to remember, fill us, Lord, with gratitude, and fill us, Lord, with desire to see Thy hand made bare again, to see revival. O God, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? And our Father, we pray to bless everyone who's here tonight, and Lord, all our families represented. We ask, O God, that Thou would give household salvation, and may none be left out. Lord, we do thank Thee for every remembrance of those who were saved, and some now in the glory. Lord, we thank Thee for their lives and for the transformation and the change that the gospel brings. Lord, we bless Thee that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And Father, we pray that tonight we will see lives changed, souls saved, the devil defeated. We ask, our God, that Thou would bless Thy word and remember Thy servant, and grant that everything said and done tonight will redound to the praise of Thy glory. Lord, answer prayer, we pray, as we commit the proceedings of this meeting into Thy hand, and pray for Thy undertaking grace. For we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Take me back to the old-fashioned meeting. Lead me on in the old-fashioned way. For the Savior I trust, never changing. He's the same. I came to the Lord with my burden, dark in sin, nearing hell day by day. Then I heard Jesus say, the first sinner. So I came by faith. That day, take me back to trust never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. One blessed day in His presence forever. I'm so glad Jesus saved me that day. Take me back to the old-fashioned days. Lead me on in the old way, for the Savior I trust never changes. He's the same yesterday, day for day. He's the same yesterday, day for day. Come, poor sinner, seek salvation. Jesus waits to put you right. Do not give that dreadful answer, I'll be saved, but not tonight. Give me just a little longer. Oh, the world looks so bright when I feel that I am dying. Then I'll say, but not tonight. Oh, how vain that the Lord your time will wait. Millions now, they're lost forever, shut without the golden gate. Once the Savior spake and called them, did the man for perfect life. But like you, they simply answer, Lord, I'll get saved, but not tonight. When the judgment overtakes you, all those words will stand inside. When they prayed, they pleaded with you, but you answered, God, not tonight. Then will come the time, O sinner, when you stand on death's cold brink, and your soul is lost forever. And in hell, your soul will sing. Give me just a little longer. Oh, the world can look so bright when I feel that I am dying. Then I'll be saved, but not tonight.
Yes, will come the time, oh sinner, when you stand at this cold grave, and your soul, it's lost forever out in hell. Your soul will say,
could I say a word of thanks to the Reverend Crane for coming this evening and for recounting the events of the mission 40 years ago. I don't know about you, but my own heart was warmed and blessed as I heard of how God worked in that mission. I can remember being in Bible college at that time and hearing stories then of what was happening here in Lurgan. But it was good tonight to hear of the events and what God has done, not only saved 50 souls, but it was so delightful even hearing him mention that all of those souls went on with the Lord. And praise God, the Lord who saves, he's able to keep you not only for 40 years, but he's able to keep you for time and for eternity. And I think the words that Mr. McRae got him up and sung afterwards, so appropriate. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, he's able to do, not only do today, but even to do far, far greater. Also want to thank Mr. McRae for those messages in song as well. At this stage, I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Todd, to come and to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to give everyone a very warm welcome along to our anniversary service tonight. We're glad to see you. There are some visitors with us tonight. I give you a special welcome as well in the Lord's name and trust that the Lord will bless us as we listen to his servant tonight minister to us. A warm welcome to those of you who are listening online as well. May the Lord bless you as you have joined with us tonight for this special service. I'd like to give a special word of welcome once again to Dr. McRae, and we're glad to see you here tonight again, brother. We do thank you for accepting the invitation along to our 40th anniversary services to preach God's word once again. I'd like to give a special welcome to the Reverend Mrs. Crane as well. I'm glad to see you here. And may the Lord bless you and thank you for giving those reminiscences of that time 40 years ago. I also was touched with what you had said there, and I had forgotten some of those things, and it's glad to hear, good to hear what the Lord has done in previous days, and may he do the same again in these days as well. I'd just like to give the announcements for the incoming week, and there are not very many of them. First of all, our midweek meeting is on Tuesday night at 8 p.m., and that meeting will be taken, God willing, by the Reverend Murray. Next week, the services will be at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m., each preceded by the time of prayer, 45 minutes before the service, and once again, the preacher in the will of God will be our own minister, the Reverend Murray. Next Lord's Day, we have set aside to be Whitfield College Sunday, and please do remember that work in your giving next Lord's Day. An advance notice then of a short meeting that we will have of the communicant members of the congregation on Tuesday the 22nd of June after the prayer meeting. And the purpose of that meeting is to ratify the appointment of new trustees for the church properties. A list of the communicant members is on the notice board in the porch. And if you're a communicant member, please do check that list that your name is on it. And if there's a mistake, do let one of the elders know and we'll correct that as soon as possible. These are all the announcements. I'll hand the meeting back again. Thank you.
Do thank our brother for making those announcements, and we trust you'll remember those incoming meetings. We are delighted to have with us, as our preacher, not just this morning, but this evening, Dr. William McRae. We're richly blessed through his ministry this morning. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know that the Lord is with us. And we were certainly encouraged this morning by that word. It warmed our hearts. And we thank our brother for giving his time to come, and we're going to ask him to come and bring the message that God has laid on his heart.
Thank you once again for the invitation, and we look to the Lord for his blessing now as we open the Word of God, because that's why we're here, and it's certainly a joy to once again fellowship with both Reverend Crane and Mrs. Crane and the family circle. We thank you for coming. It's lovely to see you again, and we pray that God will bless the labors of God's servant here in this, the Lord's house, and I pray that Mr. Murray might know the Lord's help Sunday by Sunday. I want us to open our Bibles tonight in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. We'll read just some verses from this passage of God's precious word. Because of time, we'll commence at verse number 1, Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abram from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side, Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Verse 14, Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we'll end our reading there. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Let's stand for a wee word of prayer, please. Let's pray together. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that this is Thy word that we're coming to handle. And I pray that Thou will give me help tonight to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy lovely Son, our wonderful Savior. We thank Thee for the precious souls that You saved away back those years ago. We thank Thee for precious souls You've been saving since. And, oh God, I pray tonight that Thou wilt even save some precious soul or souls in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee, we praise Thee that Thou art passing this way. Thou art passing this way today. And Lord, I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt unctionize this preacher with power. That, O God, that as I speak it might be known, that this is not the voice of man that we hear in our ears and in our hearts, but it's the voice of God speaking and calling men and women to repentance, that they might know what it is to look and live and know the Savior himself as their Savior and Lord. Hear and answer our prayer. Oh God, cover us in the blood tonight and give us power, we pray. For we ask it for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you. As we turn to this 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, just like everyone else, there comes a time when we have to go. If you look in chapter 23, and we refer to the verse this morning, verse number 14, it says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." And so we find that God's servant realizes he's coming to the end of the journey. He realizes, just like you and me, we have no continuing city here. Friend, this world's not our home, because you and I are just passing through. But you know, God's servant, as he comes to the end of the journey, he wants to challenge the children of Israel one last time concerning something that's on his heart that really matters more than anything else in all of the world. He assembles all the people together. Verse number 1 of chapter 24, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. He calls them all together with their leaders for one last time. The conquest of Canaan was nearly complete. But just like every other great leader of any day, his time has got to end. And so as he calls these leaders together, you'll notice it says that he calls them to Shechem, and they presented themselves before the Lord. Now, Shechem was an important place in the life of the children of Israel, because it was at Shechem, it was the center of Israel's territory. And so therefore, it was easy for all the tribes to come, whether they're coming from the east or the west, the north or the south, they were able to come and gather there in that central place at Shechem. It was a place that God promised Abraham to give him the land. And therefore, it was a place of precious memory. Just as this spot, when we think of the tenth mission, I'll tell you, my friend, that is in my heart. I can look back, and as our brother talked about it and talked about those tent meetings, how that it thrilled my soul, because I started to live it again. And here we find that God's servant, as he comes there, he thinks about Abraham, the friend of God, and how that God at Shechem had promised to give him the land, and how that God had fulfilled the promise that he had made. Yes, it was a place of special memories. It was a place when, in actual fact, they brought Joseph's bones back to. And Joseph's bones, you remember, Joseph, that God raised up there in Egypt and gave him that important position there in Egypt, and how that God preserved him even through his persecution. He's able to say, listen, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And how that God was in control even of Joseph's dark circumstances. God was working out a plan, and God was working out a purpose. Little did our brother know, whenever he called that mission, what God was going to work, what God was going to do, and what God's plan had for Lurgan, and how that God was going to bring many precious souls to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and many of them come and join the congregation here and separate themselves from apostasy and take that stand for the gospel's sake and for Christ's glorious name. Yes, Joseph, they brought his bones and they buried them there in Shechem. It was in Shechem that Jacob dug a well. And when you come to John's Gospel, chapter 4, you read about how the woman came to the well. Jesus Christ spoke to that woman of Samaria at the well. He asked her to give him a drink. And as she went down there for to draw the water, Jesus Christ spoke to her and said, listen, if you only knew who asked you, you would be asking of me. But you see the water you're drinking off, and I'll drink it. Listen, we thirst again. But the well of water that man drinks off, that I shall give them, will never thirst again. And it was at that well, Shechem, that she came. But thank God she left different. She came. This man told me
all the things that ever I did. Thank God her life was gloriously and wonderfully changed. And through her testimony, she went and got others, and she brought them too, and they heard the Savior speak. And thank God not only for her testimony and her words, but through the ministry of Christ Jesus himself to that crowd, thank God many believed on him. And so the Word of God says here that they came to Shechem, and they presented themselves. Notice this. Not before Joshua, but they presented themselves before God. Friend, let me tell you tonight, you're in God's house. And we thank God for this beautiful building that God has given. But remember this. This is the Lord's house. This is not only the day that the Lord has given to us, but this is God's house. And we're gathered in the presence of God. That's a solemn thing. And they presented themselves before God. And I want you to realize there's coming a day whenever you will be presented before God. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And there are so many tonight, and they're worried about what others think about them. And the fear of man, the Bible says, it brings a snare to them. But remember, it's God you meet. That's why the Amos the prophet cried out, prepare to meet thy God, because one day you will. You know, whenever they gathered there, Joshua started to remind them of what God did in the past. Look at verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. Verse 3. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and I led him. Verse 4. And I gave unto Isaac. You know, we can look back tonight, 40 years to that mission, and we think of what God did for us. And our brothers, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. It was the work of God, friend. Let me tell you this, Brother Crane or myself, we didn't change the hearts of men and women because we couldn't. You know why we couldn't? We couldn't change our own hearts. Salvation is of the Lord. And there are people come to me at times and say, preacher, listen, I would love to be saved, but I couldn't keep it. I want to tell you, my friend, you neither save yourself, neither do you keep yourself. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And maybe there's someone here tonight, the devil has put that barrier in your path. You'd love to be saved, but you're afraid you couldn't keep it. Let me tell you, he keeps you. He's able to keep you. It's not you keeping it or him. But look to the Lord and thank God he's mighty to save. And he goes away back to Abraham and what God did for Abraham, and then what God did for Isaac, and then what God did for Jacob, and then what God did through Moses and Aaron, and whenever the children are down there in Egypt, how that God stepped in the midst of it all. And verse number 13, and I give you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which he planted not, do ye eat. Notice, God says, I took your father Abraham. I gave unto Isaac. I brought you out. And then verse 8, and I brought you in. Notice, who did all of this? It's the Lord. And friends, salvation from beginning to end, salvation is of the Lord. You cannot save yourself. Now you may try to change your life, but you'll never save your soul. Salvation belongs to him. By grace are you saved through faith, the undeserved, the unmerited favor of God. By grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God, salvation, the gift of God, is eternal life. What do? To get a gift, my friend, you reach out your hand, believing that it's meant for you, and you claim it, you take it. And the gift of God's eternal life. You're offered a gift from God tonight, and it's eternal life, and you'll never perish. And glory to God, none shall pluck you out of his hand. Hallelujah, you're safe in the hand of the Savior. But by faith you have to take. You've got to believe him. As many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And God says, I did this all. I did this all. And 40 years ago, friend, God did it all. He did it all. And that's why it's only the Lord's name is to be worshipped and praised. Now, in the light of what God did, good verse 14. Now, therefore, in the light of it, in the light of what God has done for the children of Israel, this is what the old man, Joshua, who's about to go home to heaven, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Here's the command, fear the Lord. You know the sad reality of this day in which we live, my friend? There's a mark of this age, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Man lifts his puny fist and finger in the face of God Almighty as if God didn't count. Let me tell you, God's not an add-on to your life. Don't ever forget this. God breathed into man, and man became the living soul. It all started with God. The word of God says, in him we live, it's in him we move, and it's in him we have our being. And if God was to take his power from you tonight, I want to tell you this. If God was to withdraw the breath from your body, you lie down immediately on the ground in death. Why? Because you owe your breath and your body to God himself. What did Job say? Job says, the Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Man, I want to tell you, young person, you're not in control. You remember that. You're not boss. How many men and women said, listen, I want to do what I want to do. You see, it's my hand that's upon the wheel that counts. I want to tell you, my friend, God can loosen your hand on the wheel tonight in a moment. You haven't power to keep it there. I had a lovely young cousin. She was working in the civil service in the city of Belfast. It was mealtime in the middle of the day. They went out, she and the lad she was engaged to. They went out together, just to a wee cafe. They were sitting across a wee circle of a table. And they had their little meal together. And she reached her hand, they were holding hands across the wee circle of a table. And she looked into his face and she said this. She says, big lad, I love you, big lad. I love you. They felt her hand loosening. The grip, it loosened. And that young girl fell across the table. And she was gone. I love you, big lad. But in a moment, friend, the grip was loosened. So don't you think that you're the boss? Don't you think it's all in your hand, that you're the one that's in control of your destiny. You're the one that's in control of everything in your life. And you'll decide when and you'll decide what. Because you're the master of it all. Yes, the Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord tendeth or leadeth to life. Don't trifle with God, friend. Don't you take God on, friend, because I'll tell you, you're not big enough. You're not strong enough. Just remember, God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. And it's in him you live. You actually move. And you have your being. Fear God. Just remember all that God has done. And all the blessings that God has given you. Listen, God has blessed you, young person. God has blessed you, mom and dad, to keep you here to this night of your unsaved, to give you an opportunity to call you to repentance, to new life in Christ. Fear God. And then it says this, serve him. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. You've got to worship him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You need a personal relationship with God. Mommy's salvation, young person, won't take you to heaven. Your child's salvation, dad, won't take you through the pearly gates. You've got to serve him. You've got to serve him in sincerity. It's not simply signing a little declaration card. It's not a matter of simply joining a church or even giving to a church. You've got to serve him. Give God his rightful place in your life. What's that? Young man, give me your heart. See, I'm not talking about a head knowledge, friend. There's a lot of people, and they're full of head knowledge. They could tell you from A to Z even what's in the Bible, some of them, and they're going to hell. I've often told you about a wee man that came to our congregation for many years, and we met, there used to be a pub beside him. And he used to go there on a Saturday night, and he used to tell his mates, I'm going to hear McRae tomorrow night. That was on Sunday night. And there he was sitting on the bar stool. And he said, well, what will McRae tell you? He tells, we need to be saved. Do you know you need to be saved? He used to say to them. Do you know you need to be saved? He wasn't saving himself. He knew all about his need of salvation, but he hadn't a personal relationship with Christ. Remember challenging one day about a personal relationship with Christ, and this is what he said to me. He says, Mr. McRae, hold on a wee second. He says, there's a woman lives beside me down the road from me, and she goes to a particular church. And he says, let me tell you, she goes to that prayer meeting too, and she carries a Bible nearly as big as herself, and she's the biggest hypocrite in the countryside. I says, Matt, stop. I said, can I ask you this, man? Do you think whenever you stand before God, he'll ask you about her? Do you not think every man shall give an account, what's the next word? Of himself to God. I said, Matt, whenever you stand before God, let me tell you, if she's a hypocrite, let God deal with her. But I'll tell you this, Don't you go to hell. Because that's where you're going without Christ. You need to give God your heart. Thank God at the joy of seeing Matt gloriously saved and brought to faith. in Jesus Christ. Serve him. Serve him with sincerity. And what does that mean? Look again at verse 14. It says, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. You've got to put away. Let me tell you, my dear friend, this is a call to repentance. You've got to turn away. You've got to throw away. You've got to get rid of. There's got to be a change of mind and a change of heart and a change of loyalty. There's got to be a renunciation of sin. Except you repent, says Jesus, you'll perish. Oh, there's men and women tonight, and let me tell you, they're told, listen, that you just make a little decision for the Lord Jesus. You can go out after it and live like the devil, but you'll be all right. I want to tell you, it's a lie from hell. Jesus says, except you repent, you perish. You've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn from your sin. The drunkard can't go on in his drunkenness. He's got to turn from it. Say, but I can't of myself. But praise God, the grace of God can give you the power to do it. Thank God he saves you and he delivers you. But you've got to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. And that's what Joshua said. You've got to put away. You've got to put away your God. Friend, you can't have your sin and Christ. You can't have it. No man can serve two masters. It's either one or the other. And you can have your sin, but remember the wages of your sin's death, eternal separation from God. But thank God, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got the command, but very quickly, notice the choice. Verse 15. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. You've got to make a choice. And tonight you're standing at a crossroads, friend. Two ways before you lie. And each a choice must make. There's one upward to the sky and the other downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each soul must answer yes or no. The matter of choice. Listen to me carefully. You have a right to make your choice. But you have no right to choose the consequences. You make your choice for sin. You don't choose the consequence. Listen, the consequences is hell. I said, but I don't want to go to hell. But you don't want to lose your sin. You want to hold on to your sin, but you want to get to heaven. My, you want the preacher to say, listen, at the end of the journey, I'll give you a straight pass into heaven. I want to tell you this. The preacher can stand at your grave and say, dust thou art and dust thou shalt return in glorious hope of a glorious resurrection. And the preacher can make himself a liar. But I'll tell you this, before he ever says those words, you're already where you're going. You're already there. And not change your destiny. As a man liveth, so shall he die. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. And there's a matter of choice. Moses, yes, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Why? For it was only for a season. And I don't care what sin it is, my friend. You see, I love that sin. You remember these words that the preacher's saying tonight? Only for a season. Only for a season. Because you're going to be taken from them. You'll be taken from it. and you go on to eternity. Your soul goes out to eternity. Remember the children of Israel? They were faced with a choice. God says, apply the blood on the doorposts. And God says, when I see the blood, I'll stand guard over you. The death angel will not get in because I'm standing over the door. Adam was in the garden and God says, Adam, of all the trees of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. God put the barrier. He said, no, Adam, it's not for you. And God says, here's the warning. And the day thou eatest thereof, Adam, I want to tell you, there's a price. For the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And Eve listened to the lie of the devil, and the devil said, thou shalt not surely die, but I'll tell you, you'll become as gods. In other words, you'll become your own master, your own boss. God will have no say over you. You'll be exalted as gods. And she took the fruit. And she gave it to Adam. But let me tell you, she didn't ram it down his throat. He took it. That's what the book says. I took it and did eat. You're responsible for your own sin. I tell you, my friend, one day you have to make a choice. And tonight in this gospel meeting, listen, Adam made a choice. Sad to say, he made the wrong choice. Moses came down from the mountain. He was carrying the tablets of stone, and as he came down, he heard the singing and all of what was going on. And now they had made this calf and made it as their God. And Moses cried out, standing at the gate of the camp, and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And he made a choice. Who's on the Lord's side? And here we find in verse 15, Joshua says, choose ye this day. The matter of choice. The master of your choice, friend. Notice what it says there quickly. Choose ye this day. What's the next word? Whom. Whom ye will serve. It's all about a person. It's all about Jesus. It's not simply a way of life. It's not talking about choosing a job or a vacation. Listen, my friend. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You've got to make a choice. Well, who is there? It's either Christ or the devil. It's one or the other. You remember Pilate was standing before the crowd. And Pilate cried out to the crowd this, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus? And they cried, Barabbas. And I stand in this pulpit tonight, and I cry unto you with all my heart, friend. Who's it going to be? Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve Jesus? Savior? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Revelation chapter 3:20. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It's not enough to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, my friend. You've got to receive him. You've got to receive him as your Savior and yield your heart to him. Receive him as your Lord. For no man can serve two masters. It's either Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or it's your sin and Satan. The master in your choice. Felix made his choice, didn't he? He says, go away. Go for this season. Go for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He made his choice. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And he made his choice. And they went to hell. But very quickly, the moment of choice. Look at the verse again. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. You see, it's a very particular thing. It's this day. What did the psalmist say? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What did Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers, say? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, the Bible never says, tomorrow. Tomorrow, make your choice. Put it off today. Yes, man said it. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you when I have the time. But the word of God says, choose ye this day. Why, friend? Why does it say that? Because this can be your last day. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I've been telling folks, I've been preaching, just a short time ago there, a young lad of 22 years of age, Caleb, my sister-in-law's grandson in Australia, he was coming home on his bike, his motorbike. He was just nearly home. We don't really know finally what happened. I believe something jumped out, maybe a kangaroo. And to miss it, he turned the bike and swerved and went into a pole. And went into God's eternity. The day that Prince Philip was buried, in Australia there was another funeral service for a young lad of 22. And he was buried on the day he was to be married. He was to be married that day. A young girl stood at the side, not of a smiling young man that she loved, but the side of a coffin on the day she was to be married. Listen, friend, listen to me. This day, it's been often said, you rose this morning, you put on your own clothes, you put on your own shoes. But there's not one of us know tonight who'll take them off. Boast not thyself. Don't be a fool, friend. Don't say that's somebody else. That's another family. That's another home. But it couldn't be mine. Your breath's in God's hands, not yours. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day. This day may bring forth. Thank God, Joshua said, as for me and my house, I've made my choice. I serve the Lord. What's your answer tonight? What's your answer, friend? Standing at the crossroads between time and eternity. There is no Savior, only the Lord Jesus. There is no hope outside of Christ. I beg you, choose you this day. Choose Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious and thy holy word. Realize, our God, our Father, only one life to soon be passed. It's only what's done with Christ will last. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, listen, I beg you tonight. Don't go away without Jesus. If it could be God's final call, you come to him. Mr. Murray, Mr. Crane, myself, will gladly open the word of God with you, friend. We'll not rush away. We'll show you from God's word how you really can be saved and ready for heaven and home. Cry out on God tonight. Lord, Lord Jesus, save me. I perish. And thank God he'll save you from your sin. Heavenly Father, bless your word for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I do want to thank God's servant for coming and for delivering his soul in preaching the word this evening. And could I say, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, could I re-echo those words? Could I encourage you tonight to come to Christ? The hymn writer said, it's not choose you may, but choose you must and choose you will. And trust tonight that you will choose wisely, and that tonight that you'll choose Christ, that you'll trust him. Certainly the hymn writer in her closing hymn recognized that and made up his mind. The hymn writer wrote the hymn 273, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. And we trust tonight, if you know not Christ, that tonight that you will come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. I'll be in the pulpit, our brother will be here, and we'll be glad to speak to you tonight and to point you to a great Savior who is able to save and who is able to keep your soul. We're going to sing the closing hymn, 273, keeping our seats while we sing.
Thank you.
Let us just bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee this evening for thy welcome voice. We thank thee that thou speakest through thy word and that thou hast spoken through thy servant this evening. And Lord, we ask that as the challenge has been given, we ask that tonight that either those in our gathering or those listening far afield, and Lord, they have not trusted thee, that thou wouldst help them this night to choose aright, to accept thee as their Savior, and to pass from death unto life. Lord, we know that even as we pray, that the devil will be seeking to pull souls in a wrong direction. But Lord, we pray that thou wouldst smite him, sweep away his lies, and sweep away his delusions. And we pray that thou wouldst draw souls savingly unto thyself. Thank you, Lord, for that time when thou didst, by thy grace, enable us to call upon thee. We thank thee that we called, and we rejoice that we were saved, and our sins were washed away. And Lord, we pray that this night, that might be the experience of others as well. So, Lord, part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Hide thy word deep within our hearts, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.